continue our Making Sausage Governor candidate interviews now on KEXE KBXE. DFLer Lori Swanson is Minnesota's current Attorney General. She, in fact, made history by being the first female Attorney General of Minnesota in 2006. She is running for Minnesota Governor, and she joins us now from the road during her campaign stops. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me today.
So I am curious about what drew you into public office in the first place, and then eventually, why governor? Why now?
Yeah, you know, I never was somebody growing up who thought I was going to be somebody who ran for public office. It was nothing I really thought about. And early in my career as a young lawyer, I represented dozens of patients, mostly women, who had tough cancers and diseases, mostly breast cancer and other forms of cancer, and they had to battle insurance companies for treatment, and they faced a lot of just discrimination and red tape trying to get the insurance companies to pay for their treatment. And, you know, through that experience, I learned and saw, you know, that government could really be a powerful force for good and making a difference in people's lives. You know, it's impossible for, you know, regular people to hire their own lawyer to battle an insurance company. Most people can't afford doing something like that, and so I eventually joined the Attorney General's office and was able to work my way up the ranks of that office and now become Attorney General. And I've been honored to represent the people of Minnesota for the last 12 years as Attorney General. And the best part about being in public service is you can help people. You can do things that they could never do on their own. And in the Attorney General's office, we take on very tough problems and resolve them in a way that helps people. For example, I've gotten $100 million back from pharmaceutical companies that rip people off with conspiring to keep generic competition out of the market and maintain a monopoly, or that charge people unfair and illegal prices. I've taken on insurance companies that have dealt an unfair hand to senior citizens by tying up their life savings for years where they can't get access to it without forfeiting huge surrender penalties, or, taken on banks when they've rip people off with unfair charges on their accounts. And so it's been a real honor to represent the people of Minnesota as Attorney General, and now I'm running for governor to continue to make a difference for Minnesota and try to bring people together in a way that actually accomplishes results. And I think that's something that this ticket is really noted for, as you've got a couple of problem solvers in us who are running to, you know, get in there and do things. We've got so much gridlock in our politics today, and it means, you know, a lot of rhetoric, and you see the name calling in politics. And when that happens, it means that people's business isn't getting done. And I want to break through that logjam, and I want to do that as governor.
You've mentioned a few issues there. Are there signature issues? You've talked about insurance companies and pharmaceuticals and many things, but like Governor Dayton, his early childhood education initiatives, do you have something in particular you would focus on as Minnesota's next governor?
You know, there's a number of issues I want to focus on as governor. You know, governor has to manage competing responsibilities at the same time and, you know, prioritize a number of different things at the same time. Education, I think, is very important for the governor to be involved with, and I want to make Minnesota, just like Rudy Perpich called it, a brain power state where we have the best education. I have inherited from my grandmother, who lived in Duluth, a 1949 edition of National Geographic, and it was about Minnesota. And in there, they quoted in 1949, of all things, a state public official who said, "The best asset of Minnesota is found between the ears of its children." And that's what I believe, too. And we've got to invest in our kids and make sure that people get a good and education. And that starts both with intervening early with our kids, but also continuing it through K through 12 education and then college as well. You know, college has gotten so expensive, and we need to, you know, focus on making college more affordable so that people can afford to go. And I'd also like to really tap into our community colleges, which is a real strength of Minnesota. You know, a four-year college degree is the right path for some people, but it's not the right path for everybody. And when you look at Minnesota down the road here, we have a worker shortage we're going to have in jobs like healthcare and information technology and construction trades. And our community colleges can be a huge asset to train people to fill those jobs of tomorrow. And the benefit of it is students can come out without being laden with student loan debt they can't afford to pay back, because they actually come out with a job. And then, it helps our businesses be able to have a ready workforce. And that's one example. I think broadband is and economic development is very, very important. We've got to create jobs, and we're going to be a jobs administration that understands and recognizes that, you know, people need a shot, a decent job that can actually pay their bills, and that means supporting the infrastructure of this state. It also means growing broadband. You know, years ago, my mom grew up in a house with no electricity during the Depression, yet one generation later, her daughter can be Attorney General of the state of Minnesota. That comes through education, but it also comes through jobs. And, you know, we had a Rural Electrification Act that brought electricity to the entire country in rural homes. And we got to do that type of program for broadband as well, so that we're wiring up homes, bringing broadband to communities that don't have it. That helps our children with their homework. It helps people, you know, with telehealth and electronic medicine. And it also helps support and grow jobs.
We're talking with Minnesota's Attorney General Lori Swanson. She's running for governor this year, along with her running mate, Congressman Rick Nolan. You know, Lori, as we, as citizens, watch the Minnesota legislature when they are in session, it's all, always a little confusing towards the end of session how things are getting done. What do you see the role of governor in Minnesota's legislature?
Well, the legislature, of course, enacts our laws, and what I think is very important is for the governor to engage early with the legislature. One of the things that Congressman Nolan and I are going to do is we're going to meet with all 201 legislators before we take office. That's a very ambitious task. You got a couple of months to do it, but we're going to meet with them, Democrats and Republicans, across the aisle, and we're going to get to know them, get to know their families. We're going to find out, why do they run for office? You know, the people who run for office care a lot about their communities. They're proud Minnesotans. Maybe it was a local school problem or a school levy. Maybe it was a business that couldn't get a permit. But there's some reason that they run. And we're going to meet with them, break bread, get to know them, find out why is it that they ran. And by knowing each other as human beings and having respect and civility, you can break through a lot of the logjam. You know, one of my skills as Attorney General is negotiating. I negotiate a lot of big, important problems for the state of Minnesota and bring people together to, you know, tackle situations. You know, for example, we had a dispute not too long ago where the state's largest children's hospital and largest insurance company couldn't agree on a contract. And as a result, there were 60,000 families that were just living in terrible angst whether their kids could get medical treatment. And I was watching that go on in the newspaper for a while and decided to call the two CEOs and brought them over and met with them. And not too long later, we had a contract in place that gave huge peace of mind to those families. Well, never have I done a deal or a negotiation as Attorney General that has gotten worse because the people know each other and like each other and respect each other. It only gets better, and you have to start with that common knowledge of where each side is coming from, and then from that knowledge, you can get understanding, and then from that, you can get solutions. There's plenty of examples of that. Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, they were in opposite political parties, but had a wonderful relationship where they knew each other, they trusted each other, and they got a lot of good things done for the country by working together.
To go back to the legislature, I wonder if you have thoughts on the constitutionality of, you know, this is also towards the end of the session when policy and budget bills are combined. How would you handle that if you were Minnesota's next governor?
Yeah, I do. And so the Constitution has what's called a single subject clause, and it basically says every bill is supposed to have a single subject. And the idea is that you want legislators not engaging in what they call garbage bills or Christmas tree bills, where they put everything in but the kitchen sink. And then legislators end up voting for these things, sometimes voting for things they don't believe in because there's other stuff in the bill they do believe in, or vice versa. And you know, one of the problems is this session we had a 900-page bill that was done at the very, very end, and you can't make good policy that way. You know, nobody can read a 900-page bill, you know, in a day and understand everything that's in it. And so I think what I would do is, you know, and the courts, in terms of your question on the constitutionality, have looked at those over the years, some of the bills that have been passed that way, and sometimes they've struck them down as being unconstitutional, where they say there's no relation between all these different topics, where you're talking about the DNR and healthcare and all these different things in one bill. Other times they haven't struck the laws down, but regardless of the legality of it, I think it's just important that lawmaking not be done that way, because people can't read it. They're operating on fumes. They haven't had sleep. They're, you know, away from home, working into the night, and that's not a great way to do it. And so what we're going to do different is engage early with the legislators, meet them, know them, you know, not wait till the end of session, not only deal with leaders, but actually meet with every single legislator, both leadership and rank and file legislators, you know, freshman legislators. We're going to meet with all of them and try to start forging that sense of common understanding. And I hope through that bring a civility back to our politics as well. You know, one of the things that troubles me is sort of the climate where people think it's okay to, you know, call each other names and so on. And, you know, it's pretty hard if you're out there calling each other names than to actually work together at the table and get things done. At the same time, if you know each other, it's a lot harder to call each other names.
Lori, we're reaching you on the road today as you're making campaign stops, and I know you are in the car with your running mate, Congressman Rick Nolan. Yeah. I wonder if we can talk to him for a minute.
Yeah, let me pass the phone to him. Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi. How are you? We're talking to Congressman Rick Nolan today. He's running for Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota. How is the road as a candidate for a different office? How is this going for you?
Well, I'm enjoying it immensely. You know, first of all, I wanted to be home for a variety of reasons, and there's just so much gridlock in Washington, and the states are where the action is and where things can get done. So to be able to play a role in public policy development here for Minnesota, which I loved so much, and to be close to home and not having to fly off to Washington every Monday morning and not getting back till late Friday night is just too good to be true. So, and I've always been a big fan of Attorney General Lori Swansea. She's one of the 10 best lawyers in the country by Lawyer Magazine, the only government lawyer. So I guess you can conclude she's the best Attorney General in the country. And by her record, you would certainly conclude that. She's achieved so many good things and recovered so many hundreds of millions of dollars for consumers here in Minnesota as our Attorney General. And we're both of the same mind. You know, we believe that good politics starts with gratitude, and you show your gratitude by paying it forward. And so we've got some bold plans for making Minnesota number one in education again, and rebuilding our infrastructure and tackling the mental health issues and the opioid issues and the other challenges of our time. And yet we both got real problem solver records of being able to reach across the aisle, fix things, and get things done wherever we can find an agreement. So I couldn't be more excited to be her running mate in this race.
You're stopping and meeting a lot of folks along the way, and I'm sure everybody has very different concerns, but is there a topic that keeps cropping up?
Essentially, you know, it all, at the end of the day, boils down to jobs. And people want to have good-paying jobs with benefits and pensions that they can provide for their families. We're doing quite well here in the 8th District as a result of a number of initiatives and work that we've undertaken. We have the highest employment levels in 30 years. And we can do that for the whole state. And I'm excited about the challenge. So it offers a lot of promise for Minnesota. And we know how to get things done.
That is Congressman Rick Nolan. He is the congressman for District 8, now running for lieutenant governor, along with Minnesota's Attorney General Lori Swansea, who is running for governor. Thanks for taking time, and thank Lori for me, too.
Oh, you bet. And thank you.